Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, it's your girl Lushy Lush, live in the building, shutting it down like we always do. Lush Radio Online presents Street Queens, the movement, and we're doing our thing, man. This is Battered Women Part 2, okay? All callers, you can call in. You can call in anonymous. You don't have to state your name if you have been abused or you have been the abuser. You can call in. Shout out to Queen Pen in Persia. Street Queens went out to their event on the 16th of January, which they had Senator Eric, Donna Savage, an awesome writer that has a lot of advice for battered women and battered teens. John Stocks was up there. Persia is going through her case right now, trying to work on a petition. So make sure you support them and their movement. Shout out to all the street queens. All right, tonight's quote is, True love is what it does that is good. If love does not do what is good, then it was never really love to begin with. And that quote was why our one and only Jarvita Queen J1. Tonight's topic is about battered women and abused women, part 2. All callers, call in at 347-826-7722. And make sure that you know that you can call in anonymously if you want to. Every 15 minutes, we will go to the lines. We have 5 minutes, answer the questions, and then we move on. If we don't answer you, you know, during the time period, we apologize in advance. Any unanswered questions, log on to Lush Radio TheMovement.Ning.com, StreetQueensTheMovement.Ning.com, or go to StreetQueensTheMovement.Blogspot.com, or email us at StreetQueensMovement@gmail.com. And you guys can actually, you know, send us any donations or letters at P.O. Box 30126, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731. And we're about to go to the lines and bring in my queens. Peace, Queen Lissette.
What up, Queen Lush? Lissette in the house.
That's what it is.
What's going on, Queen?
Hey, Lissette.
Peace, Queen CG.
Hi. Hey, everybody.
What it do, what it do.
What's going on, ladies?
Peace, Queen Jarvita. Peace, Queen Jarvita.
Peace, Queen.
What to do, what to do. Peace, Queen Felicia.
Peace, everybody. What's up?
Hey.
Queen Emma.
Peace.
What to do.
Peace
the whole
to Emma.
And shout out to Miss Toy. She couldn't join us at this moment, but I'm going to send a shout out to her, you know. And, you know, one of our queens. And like we said, man, this is going to be a hot thing right here that we're doing. We got all the beautiful queens live on the line. You know what I'm saying? They doing they want to. You know what I'm saying? You got your girl, you know, Lissette, the hot poet, doing a thing with Streets of Mind. You got your girl, CJ, hottest model, all the internet magazines and doing the A-Game magazine, man. You got your girl Jarvita doing fit, saying model, doing a 1-2 pageant winner, doing a 1-2. And we got your girl Felicia Sabree, Music Mania, the hottest host, gracing the internet, doing a 1-2 in the television. And we got your girl Emma E2K looking hot like a tamale over there doing
That's all I get. That I look sexy. You putting me in the room with all these women that are accomplishing all these things, that I just get on sexy. You know what? I'll take that.
Yeah, I gotta get you gotta get E2K magazine, man. It's a hot magazine, man. Go ahead and cop that and A Game magazine when it drops, man. But E2K magazine, you can log on to www.e2kmagazineonline and go over there and go hit her up and make
com.
Sure you check that out.
We also got Lady X.
Lady X is going to be live in the building. She's our professional, and she's going to be giving us advice and information for battered women. And we will also have a special guest, Big Pun's wife, Liza. She'll be calling in and, talking about her experience and different issues. And if you guys want to call in, like I said, call in at 347-826-7722. Peace, Lady X. Are you online, Lady X?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, Miss Lady?
I'm doing just great. What about yourself?
I'm doing excellent. I'm always digging in this on a gangster lane. Woohoo. What it is. That's what it is. And we want to say peace to our guests in the chat room. You know, thank you for all the supporters that call in and listen to the show and check us out. Like we said, man, situation today, our topic is battered women. So we're going to go to Queen Lisette, and we're going to talk about the difference between victim and abuser.
The differences between victims and abusers. This is your girl, Lisette Lisette. Now, I find that the difference between victims and abusers is that abusers have a sense of control of the situations around them, whereas the victim does not. Now, people believe that abusers have lost control, hence leading them to abuse their partners. But the truth is that they're able to stop at any given moment. Like, let's say if the phone rings or there's a knock on a door, there's police officers there, most often they're looking calm, cool, collected, and she's the one looking all hysterical. Now, if he was truly out of control or in a rage, he wouldn't be able to stop himself when it was to his advantage. Okay, so in other words, abusers know that they're abusing. They know when to start and how to manipulate. And the victim doesn't really believe that this person is in control of their emotions. They think, oh, you know, I just got him angry. He lost control. Now, if that was the case, he wouldn't be able to, let's say, have a good aim, you know exactly where to hit her so she doesn't bruise up and, you know, the next day she's looking all bruised up at work or anything like that. He wouldn't be able to control or direct his or limit his kicks and punches. Mm. Now, almost always an abuser would not treat others inappropriately. So let's say he's confronted by an unpleasant situation, right? He might go home and just take, you know, find an excuse to abuse his spouse or the person that he claims he loves. He waits until there's no witnesses and abuses the person that is the closest to him, you know, his girlfriend, his wife that's waiting at home. In the meantime, the victim is rushing home. She's trying not to take too long, or she's trying to do things perfectly, trying to cook dinner perfectly, trying to have the kids all ready, everything perfectly. But the thing is that he's looking for any excuse. And so he or she becomes anxious, you know, always living on eggshells. Now, the victims who are battered and those who abuse come in all personality types. So battered women that are battered are not always passive with low self-esteem. And then the abusers are not always violent or hateful to their partner in front of others. But most of the time, the victim will have a loss in friendships, families, or even employment due to the lack of control in their situation. So abusers basically control the situation. Victims have self-blame, saying that I should have known better, or I did it wrong, he told me how to do it, and I'm the one who did it wrong, I should have listened, or he told me how to do this one time before. So you may notice a victim is always taking the blame for things, while an abuser is basically putting the blame on the world, pretty much saying, you know, she pushed my button, she was the one who caused me to be angry, she was the one who pushed me to the edge.
Mm.
And I find that, you know, those were some differences that stood out to me.
That's crazy right there, man. You know, you have to be sitting on edge and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Sitting on edge, worrying if I come in or say the wrong thing, is this guy going to smack me? Just like in Rectilecta, like last week when I was telling you about the one abuser who beat his wife because she made hot dogs,
exactly.
You know? And, yeah. You know.
And no matter how perfect the situation is, no matter how clean the house is or what you cook for dinner, if he had a bad day, you know, his boss yells at him, he will not lash out on his boss. What happens is he'll come home and then take it out on you. So no matter how perfect the house is or how nice you look or whatever, he's going to find some kind of excuse to put his hands on you.
And that's crazy, man. And that takes us to, you know, the difference between a man and a female abuser, because the thing is, you know, men aren't the only ones that abuse. Women abuse too.
Oh, yeah.
Lady X and Lissette, I'm going to let Lissette start off, and then we'll move on to Lady X. That's both of you guys right there.
Well, first of all, men find it harder to discuss any pain than women, and it's even harder for them to admit that they're a victim. All right, so a man who's being abused, you know, forget telling your boys, because your boys are just going to, you know, make fun of you and, you know, basically belittle you, because it's unheard of. To them, it's unheard of. Mm-hmm. Now, the role of gender is a controversial topic relating to the discussion of domestic violence. And one of the reasons for that is that men are less likely to report spousal abuse to the authorities, in turn making it difficult to really get actual figures on how many male victims there really are. All right. Women are just as physically aggressive or even more aggressive than men, usually belittling their own kids or torturing their own kids or name calling, you know, breaking the man down because there's a lot of name calling and basically slapping him up whenever she feels like it because she had a bad day or whatever. Okay. Basically, it seems like the numbers are even. There's, you know, just as many as female abusers as there's male abusers. And I would really, really like to hear what Lady X has to say about those differences between male and female.
Mm-hmm. In the statistics, I noticed that as the male abusers went down in terms of male abusing women, the women abusing men, those statistics went up. One set of statistics came down by 10%, and the female abuser statistics went up by 10%. I think that with the changing of the law, like Lissette was saying, men do not typically report abuse. When the police have been called and the male was actually the victim, the law now says that the police presses the charge, and the reason they stop the victim from pressing the charge is because the offender always make them go back and retract the charge. So now the law changed, so the police press the charge. So when they go into the situation and they see that the victim is a male, then they press the charge. And I think that's how we're getting more victims being men showing up. And I know one case here, the young man was beaten and thrown through a plate glass window, and when the police got there and he was bleeding, something awful, and they checked him and they was looking at him and they said, you are full of old scars and cuts where she had beat him before. So they pressed the charge against her and locked her up, and then they took out a protective order against her to keep her away from him. Now, she was She was what you would call a heavyset woman, with him being real, real thin. But they concluded that he was afraid to press the charge.
Oh, wow.
And this has often been the case when an individual has been victimized, is that they are afraid to press the charge. And that it is a lot harder to prosecute a woman for beating a man. And you know,
Lady X, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Man, could you, because I don't know if it's the phone or whatever, but it's sounding really, really low and stuff. So I wonder if you was to be able to hear, because you have a lot of important information. It's sounding low a little bit. I don't know. Okay.
Okay, I'll talk louder.
Okay, there.
Okay. Well, always let me know if my voice drops.
Okay. Okay.
I was in the process of saying that in colonial times, when men were abused by their spouses, they were ridiculed in the neighborhood because their wives had beat them. They were put on a wig, put on a dress, and they had to ride a horse through town. And all the men in town heckled them for having been beaten by a woman. So because of the ridicule that comes to men if a woman beats him, he is not going to tell that. And the other male that is often beaten by his spouse is the homosexual male or the male that's in a bisexual relationship.
Wow. Yeah, they do fight a lot.
The homos? I'm not like, whoa.
Oh. It's not funny, but I'm just saying they do. I'm sorry, I'm laughing, but I
call homosexuals not homos.
I mean homosexual. I have seen fight a lot.
That was abbreviation for him.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm not making fun of nobody.
You're right.
I see something on reality TV with a gay man couple. They were pretty funny. Like, you know, it was just like two females, but they were men. But they do quarrel a lot.
There is a Gay Men's Domestic Violence Project, and that number is 800-832-1901. If you are gay and having trouble with your spouse, you can call that number for assistance. And they have chapters all over several states, and it's possible for them to direct you as to a safe house or a counseling project where you can get some assistance. So there is help out there for the gay and lesbian group.
Lady X, this is Lisette speaking. I came across some research that says that those women who killed men were actually victims of about 75% of the time. So basically they went through so much abuse that when they fought back, they actually killed the man, and it shows that that was 75% of the time of abuse. What do you feel about that?
I think that they kill the man because they are afraid if I don't kill him, he's going to come back and get me. So they are afraid the reason why they kill the man.
So it's like kill or be killed.
Right. And a lot of times if the woman is being abused, the man will tell them, I'm going to kill you. And she either believes it and finish him, or she take her chance and go in hiding.
Do you think that holds weight in the court system?
If she has a record of being abused by him, yes. There was a time that it didn't, but it does now. If there is a record, that's why when a woman is being abused, or anybody, any person that is being abused, you need to be calling the helpline, the hotline, the police. You need to go into the hospital and get treated, because all of that sets forth a record of abuse. And it has to be more than just your word against his. If you establish a record of abuse and it gets so violent that you have to, it resorts to your having to kill that person, then you have a record or a history of abuse that works in your favor in the court of law.
Miss Lady X, can I ask you a question, Lady X?
Yes.
What about, you know how you have some women that just like to antagonize a man? Like, I mean, that they'll intentionally go and hit him in his face or punch him and all that stuff, and or throw stuff, just intentionally that they want the fight.
Well,
do you classify that as?
There are some women that like to be beat. There are women who like to be beat, and they feel like they are not loved unless they're beaten. They continue to antagonize the man until he hits her. And when he hits her, then she knows that he loves her.
Because that's a form of attention to her. It's a form of attention. Wow.
That for her, that's affection. And I would suspicion that she was abused as a child, the reason why she associates abuse with affection. Those two things does not go together.
Wow. Have you ever seen that that episode on Oprah where the lady with half a face came on because of the abuse? That her man came back to her house and shot her in the face, killed her mother, shot her in the face, and now this lady's basically walking around with a bandage over her face because all she has is one eye and part of a jaw, and she actually survived that. Anybody seen that on Oprah?
I've seen it.
I think I've seen that one.
Oh, my God. That gave me chills.
On that one.
That's and crazy. The one that got burned up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
really
which one? Which one are y'all talking about? The one that got burned up? You talking about the young lady that pressed it? Because there's one out here that was in my area, in the DMV area.
She came out of Oprah.
Yeah, that's her. She was out here in the DMV area. She had pressed a restraining order. They wouldn't give her a restraining order for him, and she was at a T-Mobile out here where I live at in the DC DMV area, and the guy went inside a T-Mobile and just diced. Doused kerosene and set fire right there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
In front of everybody?
Mm-hmm.
So that, I guess that would be more psychotic, if anything.
Yeah.
Like he actually has some psychological issues to not care to do such a thing in front of others and not care for the consequences.
See, because the main thing to them is that they hurt that individual. They really don't think about nothing else. As long as they could hurt you, and you know that is, and they like to know that they like for you to look at them hurting you. You know, like you. In other words, they have that power, that control. They don't think about it enough at the moment.
That's satisfaction.
That rage just gets them to. I'm gonna kill her. I'm gonna cut her face. I'm gonna whatever. You know what I mean? That she knows that you did that damage.
Well, some of them feel like if I can't have you, nobody else. Will.
Nobody, right? Yeah, exactly that attitude.
And it gets into sometimes sexual fetishes too.
They think because you're in a relationship with them that they own you. Like whoever told you that you could own another person? You know what I mean? Like, people get it wrong. You don't own anybody. You're your own person. You have to control
yourself. It's just a vicious cycle because most likely these abusers were witnessed the stuff as children. You know? And what happens is they basically repeat the cycle. You know, and that was really known in the Spanish communities, in the, you know, Hispanic community, where it was pretty much normal. It was normal, you know, to see a woman get beat or grabbed up by her hair in front of everybody, taken upstairs. Like, as a child, I would see that often, and it almost became normal to me.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the young kids, you know, teenage, you know, 18, 19, 17, you know, growing up, like, they're going through it because I know that when I first, you know, felt abused for the first time, it was, you know, when I was in my teenage years, you know, and it was just like, okay, this is what we do. We get mad at each other and we start raising hands, like, and then we love each other the next day. And, you know, these girls are accepting that, but really that's not a healthy relationship, you know.
And that brings us to Javita. The difference between criticism and abuse.
Well, before I start, I definitely wanted to comment because I agree with what you all were saying. Like Lady X started saying about sexual abuse that leads into fetishes. That is true, you know, because some of them relive the abuse of the abusers that way over and over again. Instead of dealing with it, that is their way of they have a repetitive need to repeat the incident. And that's in your more extreme cases of abuse, especially when it comes to rape victims. And, like, in some cases, like with men, a lot of the reason why they don't want to report it, especially with gay couples, is because, say it is sexual abuse. Did you know that it's against the law for that a man can't be raped in accordance to the law? So he can't very well report being abused. A lot of women now are taking advantage of that. Like the latest incident that has occurred and is broken that up has started down here is girls using the date rape drug Rohypnol and Viagra to drug men and molest them.
What?
Yeah. So that way they're knocked out and they can ride them all night. Now that is a terrible thing. It ain't nothing.
Oh, holy.
And two, exactly. And
the law that a man can't be raped by a woman, or he can't be raped in general, because he can be raped by another man.
Yeah, they're saying that they're saying that a man can't be raped. I know in the state of Georgia, they just flat out say a man can't be raped. But
even
by he can be overpowered by anybody, and that's why a lot of them go get counseling, or they end up, some of them kill themselves.
Wow.
That it's a higher risk of mortality rate when it's a man who's been abused as opposed to a woman.
Oh my gosh.
Because
you know, it's crazy that you mentioned that, because when I was a young adult, you know, I was about 19 years old, I had a friend who told me, "Oh my God, Lissette, you don't know this girl. I don't know what she did, but she spiked my drink, and next thing you know, I wind up in her house." And you know, he was cracking jokes. It was this big old girl, and oh my goodness, I never felt so violated.
Oh,
all he remembers is waking up just butt naked, you know, on the bed,
mm-hmm.
and he felt woozy. So the first thing that he did was reach for his cell phone. He called his father in tears. He's like, "Dad, come get me. I don't know what happened. This girl is up to no good. I don't know what happened."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and back then, I mean, I'm 19 years old. I'm like, how are you going to get raped? Whatever. That was a joke. You're a man. So how is it that you, first of all, you didn't want it, you know, and how was it that, I mean, men don't get raped. That was my mind frame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they can, and that is how women are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
The Viagra and the Rohypnol allow it.
A combination of the two.
You said Viagra and Hypnol?
Mm-hmm. Rohypnol, the date rape drug.
Oh, Rohypnol. That's crazy, like, to think that, like,
try to,
you know, out there doing that, you know, we're just as guilty.
Yeah, and it's, of course, their thing is you can't prove it when it's a woman because there's no signs of abuse, you know, for the man, unlike with a woman. You know, she'll have some opening, or you might find some tearing of the cervix or something, but you don't get that with a man unless he's been penetrated from behind.
Ooh. Yeah, but I mean, they can test in his bloodstream for that drug, though.
Yeah, they can, and that's actually what happened with one of my friends that I know. He got tested because it wouldn't go down, and so he went to the hospital, and that's when he found out that it had happened. You know,
wow,
because him and his brother had went out, and it happened to his brother, and luckily he left.
No, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there is no big difference between male and female abusers. They both have a cycle. They both have issues, and it's basically the same cycle all over again. It doesn't matter if you're male or female.
Mm-hmm.
So what about so we even with just being abated and all that stuff in regards to that abuse, like what about, you know, the young children and stuff that are like abused and scared, and they're getting beaten up, like you got like 11-year-old and you got somebody maybe that's close, like a father, something that's molesting, beating on you and taking your virginity and stuff, or molesting these little boys.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, those are, you know, that the same thing can happen, even like I said, to little boys. You know, it's known document that they will give, you know, girls Rohypnol. It's just with the boys, they give them a little something extra. And there have been some cases, you know, where the mama, a parent, a female, will abuse the child. And the way they can tell, too, one of the signs if a boy is being abused is if his private parts are growing faster than they should.
Ooh.
And he's larger than average. At an early age, and that's signs of being messed with.
And with girls, they will start growing breasts early, and you'll start seeing signs of pubic hair earlier than what it should be. They start going into puberty at 8 and 9 years old,
mm-hmm.
or 7 years old. A 7-year-old will have pubic hair.
Same thing with a boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So those are some of the signs that a parent can look for, both in their sons and daughters, to know and whether or not they're being abused.
And some mothers have the little boy to touch them in private places.
You said some of the mothers have little boys touch them? The mothers have the child touch them in private places?
Yes, they have the child to touch them in private places.
Wow.
And another thing is that if a child has too much knowledge, and mm-hmm. that's why you don't expose your child to everything that's sexual. You try to be protective and keep some of that knowledge away from your child. And that way, if they have knowledge that is inconsistent with their age, and detailed knowledge that is inconsistent with their age, and you know that you did not give them that type of information, and you didn't make anything available for them, you didn't watch no X-rated movies and stuff with them for them to get that kind of information, you know that some type of exposure has happened. If they don't tell you, you need to keep your eyes open and be sharp and see if you can't figure out where it's coming from. Because somewhere along the line, your child has been exposed to sexual knowledge that they should not have. And with that kind of knowledge and stimulation at an early age, the child don't know what to do with it. And a young child doesn't know what is appropriate and inappropriate. So you will see them express that type of behavior at an early age or in an inappropriate manner. I'll never forget when my nephew wanted a doll. He wanted a girl doll, and we couldn't figure out what he wanted with the doll. And he went to visit his cousin, and so he stole one of the little cousin's dolls. And this child's about 4 years old, four or five years old, not quite kindergarten, but approaching kindergarten age. And we noticed he'd get on the doll and start humping the doll. And my brother and I said, where did you learn how to do that? Where did you get that information from? So then he told us the girl next door had him to do that to her every day for them to go out and play.
Oh, my gosh.
The 16-year-old next door kept them for 30 minutes. She had the kids for 30 minutes a day. And this was what they did in order to get permission to go out to play. They touch her on her breast, and they get up on her and hump her.
Oh, my God.
If they do that, they can go out and do and play then.
I think I would knock somebody out.
Yeah, I know.
Huh? Oh, my Jesus.
So you never know where it's coming from, but if you be observant and ask, you can find out. So that says, don't let him go back next door. We got to stop her by just stopping him from going over there.
But you know what, Lady X, you know, I think sometimes, you know, in regards to, like, even the parents, right, like, if your children are telling you that something's going on, you know, a lot of people need to listen to their children, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people ignore because of a man trying to keep a man with them, you know, or trying to, you know, maybe he's the breadwinner and they don't want to lose that man, or they're feeding their addiction or something. And say the young girl or the young boy is getting touched, they're not really going to say nothing. You know, just like take, for instance, this book, The Blood, Tears, and of Domestic Violence, The Survivor's Revelation by Donna M. Savage. She was actually at the conference that we were at in New York. And in the book, it talks about a guy that the mother had got involved with, and she was getting alcoholic, and he was a breadwinner, and he would feed her alcoholism, and he was touching the boy and the little girl.
Mm-hmm. There are some offenders that offend both the daughter and the son, that both children are being abused. And I had such a case that I started off seeing the sister, and she was so certain it was just her being abused. And I asked her to go talk to her brother because I suspected he was being abused too. And so when she got up her nerve to approach her brother about it, he told her, yes, he was abused, that it was more you than me. And I would be out watching TV, but I knew what he was doing to you because he did it to me the times I had to stay in.
Wow.
But he stayed in the house. He was sexually abused by the man. But most of it, he was abusing the daughter.
That's some crazy.
Is he in jail now?
No, he didn't go to jail.
Go figure.
He did not go to jail.
Do you guys know, what is the maximum time do they give sex offenders?
It depends on the crime.
It depends on the
crime. Some of them get 10 years, some get 20 years. Some get 10 years for every different type of act that they committed against the child. It varies.
Mm.
It has to do with how well the prosecution can prove the case.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a child involved, you know, the adult can outlie the child. The child isn't a very good liar. They don't make good liars. So they
mm-hmm.
really can be trusted to tell the truth. But the offender is always going to paint that child as the liar.
That's crazy.
It takes the work of a good trained therapist along with someone trained in victimization in order to get the victim statement. When the report first comes in, the police get a victim statement, so you need an officer to do that. And then you need medical information. You need your medical information to back you up. All of that helps you.
Wow.
That's crazy, man. Like, you know, that's a crazy situation, man. And real talk, if you guys are out there and you're listening and you are being abused, don't feel ashamed. Tell somebody, because you can't sit there and deal with that alone. If you were a child, if you're a woman getting abused, you know, I mean, come on, man. There are hotlines, and we're going to be giving you that information later on through for the whole show. And that brings us to, now, this is a question given to all of you guys. What's the difference between being dependent versus being independent? And that's I'm give that to Emma, because I know Emma has some extra things she wanted to throw in real quick, so I'm going to give that to Emma first to start that off. The difference between being dependent and independent.
Well, I did the search for everything else but that question you just asked me, but I guess I can answer from my experience. I'm going to have to tap into that and freestyle it. The difference between being dependent of your abuser, is that how we're phrasing that? Dependent on the abuser?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it goes back to what the lady's already been saying. I believe Lizette touched on it as well. I think you, Lush, when the man is the breadwinner,
mm-hmm.
and you rely on this man to pay the bills and stuff like that, and being that once you're abused, your self-esteem goes so low, you feel you cannot do anything, and you're already believing everything he says as far as you can't live without him, you can't do nothing. So that becomes you grow a dependency on him. You know, he tells you when, you know, you have to ask for even, you know, for if you want to buy a lollipop, 50 cents, he wants to question what's the 50 cents for. And it's real like that, because I was in a relationship like that, and I had to literally ask him, you know, when it was my monthly time, you know, to ask him for that. And that was like a whole process just for that, because he had to check the calendar to make sure that I was spending that money exactly for that if it was around that time. So it's that serious, you know, even for a bag of potato chips, like they want to make sure. So you become, they put you in that motion where you become so dependent. Now, you can still be abused and still be independent from him, where you can still be making your own money and doing your own thing and having your own thing, but mentally, he still controls you. There's always a way to be controlled. You know, whether it be with monetary, with the money, or with the mind. Because just because you make your own money doesn't mean that you're that strong in the mind. So you could be dependent and you can buy your own things and whatever, and he can even get you to buy him things. But it's at his mental control.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, so having answered that, I want to go into some of the stuff that I did research really quick. It's a lot of stuff, but I'm just going to tap into the most, well, everything is important, but to the most that really caught my attention. From 1983 to 1991, the number of domestic violence reports received increased by almost 117%. And this is by the New York State Division of Criminal Justice. According to the FBI, domestic violence claims the lives of 4 women each day. In 2 studies of homicide cases involving women who killed their partners, 75% and 44% of the women have been physically abused by them prior to the lethal incident. Who is at greater risk for domestic violence? Women ages 20 to 34, and increasingly adolescent girls. Women who abuse alcohol or other drugs or whose partners do. Women who are poor. Women attempting to leave their abusers. Battered women increase their risk for murder when they try to escape. And this is from New York City Department of Health. 20 years ago, the first battered women's shelter in the United States was Women's Advocates, was opened in St. Paul, Minnesota. And this program is still in existence today. There are 1,500 shelters for battered women in the United States, but there are 3,800 animal shelters.
Can you repeat that, Emma?
There are 1,500 shelters for battered women in the United States, but there are 3,800 animal shelters. Yeah, uh-huh. That's the same thing out there.
They care more about the dogs than they do with us as women.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So just to show, exactly, just to show you, police were more likely to respond within 5 minutes if the offender was a stranger than if an offender was known to the female victim. Mm-hmm. Women charged in the death of a mate have the least extensive criminal records of any people convicted. However, they often face higher penalties than men who kill their mates. FBI statistics indicate that fewer men are charged with first or second degree murder for killing a woman they have known than are women who kill a man they have known. Women convicted of these killings are frequently sentenced to longer terms than are men. The extremely long sentences women serve raises serious questions about the fairness of our criminal justice system. Women testifying before the committee on domestic violence and incarcerated women average sentence of 15 years. It goes to out of every four men will use violence against a partner at some time in their relationship. I'm skipping a couple of things, but I just want to get covered. The average prison sentence of men who kill their women partners is 2 to 6 years. Women who kill their partners are sentenced on average to 15 years, despite the fact that most women who kill do so in self-defense.
Oh, my goodness.
That doesn't sound balanced.
Each year, medical expenses from domestic violence total at least $3 to $5 billion. Businesses forfeit another $100 million in lost wages, sick leaves, absentees, and non-productivity. Mm-hmm. Violence is the reason stated for divorce in 22% of middle-class marriages. Approximately one-third of the men counseled for battering are professional men who are well-respected in their jobs and in their communities. These have included doctors, psychologists, lawyers, ministers, and business executives.
Oh, minister.
And there's a website called silentwitness.net, and if you go in there, you can go into check your own state, and it shows you maps, and there's a statistics of all the domestic violence in each state. It's called silentwitness.net, and if you're in Philadelphia, you can contact National Clearinghouse for the Defense of Battered Women, and the address is 125th South 9th Street, Suite 302, Philadelphia, PA, 19107. And there's a National Domestic Violence Hotline. It's 1-800-799-7233 and
1-800-787-3224.
That's what's up.
Why is it that men get less years than women? What is that about?
That's been the law.
Are men judges? Like, why? How is that possible? How is that possible? I don't understand that.
Let's ask Lady X about that. Lady X, how you feel about that situation, Lady X? What's going on with that, Lady X?
I feel like that's one of the battles that women are still fighting with regards to unequal treatment. That sexual discrimination. And when you go to court, many times you go before a male judge, and we do have female judges now, but the system is pro-male.
Excuse me, Lush?
Yeah?
Liza's about to call in, so.
Okay, that's what's up. People that's joining in and listening to the show right now, we are doing a show. It's about Battered Woman. It's episode 2. Last time we did our show, we had Queen Penn talking about her situation, her organization, and we also had Persia from My White Rapper, who's about to face a couple of years due to the fact of her protecting herself, you know, with a firearm. And we're going to be having Big Pun's wife call in a few seconds to talk about her situation. And we're talking about battered women and battered men and abusees and abusers. So if you have a situation like that, or you'd like to talk to Liza or call in and express your feelings, or talk to Lady X and ask her for her professional insight about things, call in at 347-826-7722. So, you know, I'm going to go to a quick commercial, ladies. So could you hold on the line for me? And, you know, we're going to come back and go on to the next topic. And when Liza comes on, we're going to pull her into the call. Okay? So we're going to go to a quick commercial real quick and, you know, get it on and popping. And you know what commercial I have to play. Make sure y'all pick up E2K Magazine, man. What it is, man.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K Magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K Magazine or www.everything2.com or email them at E2K Magazine@gmail.com, man. It's nothing. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it.
I want to get your stunning shades on. Want to get the hottest glasses worldwide exclusive? Holla at Rooly.com, www.rooly.com. Holla at them official sponsors of Lush Radio. It's not a game. I got my stunning shades on, and I'm doing my 1-2, man. Holla at Rooly.com. It's not a game. Go check out the website, man. You're going to be impressed. Tell them Lush sent you, man. It's not a game, man. I got my stunning game on. Do you? All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens. Let's go.
Yeah, man. It's your girl, Lushy Lush, live in the building. Lush Radio Online presents Street Queens, the movement. And it's episode 2, Battered Women. And you know what it is, man. We got all our beautiful women live in the building. Special guest, Lady X, and Big Pun's wife. They'll be calling in a few minutes. So we're going back live on the line. And callers, you can call in anonymously at 347-826-7722. And I'm about to bring in another caller. And I hope that's our special guest right there, one of our other special guests right there. Hello, caller. 845.
Hi. How you doing?
That's Liza.
Yes, Liza, it's me.
Hi, Mama. How are you?
Fine.
How you doing, Liza?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
We doing great.
And
if you guys don't know who Liza is Big Pun's wife. And she's calling in today to share her experience and to talk on, you know, the different situations. Queens, you know, say hi to Liza.
Hi, Liza.
Queens, what's good? So what are we talking about?
That is women. You have Emma on the line. You have Lizette on the line. Lizette, you remember Lizette? She did your makeup.
Yes. Okay.
She's a street queen. She's on the line. And okay. You have our other ladies on the line. Everybody individually say your name so Liza can know who's on the call.
Hey, well, Liza. My name is Felicia Sabree, and I am the host of Music Mania Television out here in Massachusetts and New Hampshire Networks.
Cool. Nice to meet you.
What it is, Music Mania Television.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Jarvita?
Yeah. Oh, that's Jarvita. Is Jarvita going to say something? This is BG. I'll introduce myself. Hi, Liza.
Hi.
Say your name and what you do. She can't see ya.
So you guys got a question for me?
Hello, Liza. This is Lady X. How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Lady X is our professional that's live on the line with us. Like I said, we got CG, A-Game Magazine Hot Model. We got Sabree, Music Mania, and we have Jarvita, Fish, and also pageant winner. And we have... Miss Emma E2, you know that, and Lisette, doing a 1-2, you know what I'm saying? And Liza, we're honored to have you here. And also to let you guys know, this interview was sponsored by E2K Magazine. We want to thank Emma for, bringing Liza to the building.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's definitely an honor for me, everyone, and definitely it's an honor for me to call in.
That's what it is. I know you had your own situation in regards to, you know, you married to Big Pun and everything. Could you tell us a couple of things that you went through in regards to, you know, with abuse?
Well, basically, I've been with my husband at an early age, you know, got married, you know, was with him at 14, got married at 17, had three kids back to back, and later on, found out that he was abusive. He started little to control. It started little by little, saying the controlling, and then after a while, it was just full blown. It was something I never expected, nothing I never encountered, nothing I never knew about. So it was just a whole learning process for me to deal with someone in that way. A lot of people ask me why did I stay, you know, it being that he was the way he was. One, because I loved him unconditionally, and secondly, I knew where it was coming from. You know, I was able to sit back and see my husband and understand where he came from. You know, he was abused as a young child, and he suffered a lot of abuse as a young child, and he wasn't able to break away from that. He wasn't able to, you know, let that go, and he carried on to his adulthood with that. And he was the type of person that, you know, he loved to be in control, which in his life growing up, he had no control of anything. Of, you know, anything was going on with his parents, anything was going on with his living situation, and he had any control with his abuse. So when he got with me, you know, I was the one thing that he can control. So basically, you know, it was really bad. You know, we it was the fighting, the punching, and the hitting, and the, you know, it was really bad at times. But you know, we just get strong, and one thing I didn't love myself enough then, you know what I'm saying, to realize, you know, that this can't go on. You know, it came a time in my life where I stood up to him and I'm like, you know what, you know, I love you unconditionally, yes, but I do love myself too. So that was the reason why I took a stand, you know, against it and, you know, try to fight for my own freedom and for him to respect me. It wasn't easy, but at the end of the day, before he passed, he definitely saw where I was coming from and gave me my respect, which I was grateful for that. And it's something where I knew he really didn't want to be that way. You know what I'm saying? He cried a lot about it. He was hurt a lot. It was a lot of demons he had inside. I mean, he did the song for Wishful Thinking, where he publicly apologized for my physical abuse and, you know, all the pain he caused me. You know, so that I will always thank him for, you know what I'm saying, and that meant a lot for me. But it was hard dealing with the kids, you know, kids growing up, you got the kids involved in a relationship, they see it. You know, it's a cycle, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't want my kids learning that. I didn't want my son to think it was all right, so okay to beat on women. I didn't want my daughters to think it was all right, you know, to live that way. And it's a cycle that I decided to stop in my own family, you know, because I saw it coming through him, how he was, you know, what went on with him. And as he got older, it went through us. And I didn't want the kids to go through that. And it's a hard thing, and it's abuse. It's a lot of women get abused, but there's a lot of men who get abused too. That's never even spoke about. It's just abuse on either part is not right, because there's a lot of women that abuse men. A lot of men don't say it because it's really embarrassing to know that your wife or your girl is beating your ass. You know what I'm saying? But it happens. You know, I have my daughter, my oldest daughter. She turned on controlling like her dad because she doesn't want to ever see herself like me. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you know, she's controlling with her boyfriend, and it's not right either. So, you know, I've had to teach them and to teach them, like, what was right from wrong. And, you know, and even though we go through these situations, it's not, you know, right for us to act that way. And, you know, so it's been a real learning experience. It's given me a lot of strength over the years. I think without it, I wouldn't have been who I am today. I don't regret it. Huh?
I'm sorry to interrupt. Liza, do you feel like the fact that you are, like, you were being in the limelight in regards to being married to Big Pun and, you know, being in the limelight of him being a rapper and everything like that, did you have to, like, you know, have this tough skin to try to, like, hold everything back and be the strong woman even though you were hurting?
I mean, yeah, I've always been the strong one. From day one, I was his backbone. You know what I'm saying? I've been this man's backbone since day one. I've been with Pun since, like, again, since I was 14, he was 15. You know, there's a lot of things that we've been through together. I was really in the limelight after Pun passed, because when he was Pun, I kept my identity very private. A lot of people in the industry knew who I was, of course, because, you know, I was with him. As far as publicly, no one knew that I was Pun's wife. I was going to college and everything, and no one knew that I was Pun's wife. You know, I kept it private. It was through the publicists that we agreed with Pun's publicists, never for me to be interviewed, never for me to be pictures of anything, because I still live in the hood. You know what I'm saying? I still live in the same hood. And I wanted to have the freedom to walk around as I please and not people harass me that I was Pun's wife. So me being in the limelight, I stepped into that after Pun passed, which was a very difficult situation for me, because all my life I've been isolated. My husband had me in isolation. Then right after he passed, I was, boom, right in the limelight. But a lot of people that knew us didn't know what was going on behind closed doors. You know what I'm saying? It was really our situation, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I got this strength. I mean, God has given me the strength ever since birth. You know what I'm saying? I see my mom go through her struggling, being a single mom and raising three kids, and I seen her strength, and I, you know, I got a lot of strength from my mom as well. But I don't know, man, it's by the grace of God. I know that God puts us through situations that we can't handle, and that's the only thing that's what keeps in my mind. If I'm going through this, because this is my destiny, this is the path that was given to me, you know what I'm saying? And I know that if God is letting me go through this, because he knows I can handle it, and the payoff is going to be greater at the end. You know, so I just keep, you know, I just keep moving forward. You know what I'm saying? I don't regret anything from my past. You know, everything's been a learning experience, like I said. And it's made me stronger. And like I said, with my story, if I can help the next person and, you know, and speak, you know, it's a good thing. You know, we all of us have to really take a handle of this domestic violence, because it's happening everywhere, and it's happening at a younger age. I got kids, and when they were in junior high school, that you see junior high school kids, you know, together, little boyfriend, girlfriend, even gay couples. So I've seen two girls, and I've seen two guys where they're beating on each other. And I'm saying it's not a good thing. We have to learn how to communicate and learn how to, you know, deal with our anger and direct it in a different way. You know, we have to learn that we have to control ourselves, and we can't control other people. And if, you know, don't go our way, then it is what it is. But not to, you know, bring it on force and beat somebody down and make them do what we want to do. So it's a hard thing. It's something that I definitely got to get handled. It's a scary situation. And you know, it's something that we all got to come together and teach our children and the young kids, you know, this is what it is, and, you know, and to love ourselves, because that's the main problem. You know, the abuser eventually tells you, they strip you down, you know, because my husband stripped me down of my pride, stripped me down of everything that I was, and so I felt like I was nothing, and you start believing, they brainwash you, they start believing that you are nothing, that they're the only person that will love you, you know what I'm saying? And the reason why the abuser does this, for different reasons, every abuser is a little different, but it's either because they're insecure, it's either because they want to control. A lot of it is insecurity. My husband's very insecure. I'm saying he couldn't control his life, so he felt he could control me. And for me, the more he kept me isolated, the more he kept me in the dark, it was better for him, because his fear was for me to leave him. He never wanted me to leave, but, you know, for me not to leave him, instead of loving me and caring for me, he instilled fear and horror, so that way I wouldn't leave. So it was a sad thing, you know what I'm saying? It was a sad thing on his part. He hated being the way that he was. He was miserable, you know what I'm saying? He didn't like being who he was. He would cry at times and tell me, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe why you're still with me. I can't believe you still love me. And I would tell him, like, I love you to death. Like, you are everything to me. And, like, all I want is an ounce of respect, you know what I'm saying? And he was, oh, that's why I buy you the cars and the jewelry. I'm like, but that's not what I want, you know what I'm saying? All I want is for you to love me and respect me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he didn't love himself. You know, he's a person, he didn't love himself. You know what I'm saying? So it's really sad for him. You know what I'm saying? I walk away and I got scars. Every scar on my body tells a story. But it's a story of strength for me. It's a story for strength for me that I survived. But for him, he's sad. I see my husband, I think of him, and I'm sad for him. Because he had to go what he went through, and he had to feel... You know, I would never want to have to be him and be so miserable and hate yourself that much. You know what I'm saying? So then want to, you know, hurt somebody else. And, you know what I'm saying? So it's a crazy situation.
Liza, I have a question. This is CG, if I can ask. Now, we spoke before, I think it was before you got on the phone, how a lot of the, some of the abusers are, you know, well-respected men or powerful men. When you finally came out, about the abuse, did you feel like people didn't believe you because of who he was?
Well, basically, if you see my first documentary that I did, Big Punch Still Not Player, when I did speak about the abuse, I put a clip of an abuse because I had cameras that was always running in my house, so I was constantly recording everything. And there was a clip there that he fisted with me in my face with a Mac 10. So I had saved that video, and I put it in for my documentary so that people who did doubt me, the proof was there. You know what I'm saying? People, I think it was kind of bold of me and kind of crazy, but fuck it, that's how I am. But it's just, I don't know, I mean.
Liza, this is Lissette speaking. I saw
Liza,
documentary.
The industry didn't want you to talk about it, right, Liza?
No, exactly. That was the second part of the question. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that I finally lost my train of thought. As far as the industry gave me a hard time with it. Basically people from Punch Crew, you know what I'm saying, they spoke against it, they were upset about it. And for me, you know, I mean, that's their problem, you know, saying I knew why I spoke about it. I had to free myself from that demon for so many years for keeping it quiet, you know what I'm saying? And I had to free myself, I had to free my kids, and I had to free my husband. You know, it was my life, it was my decision, you know, it was my business. For a while, I almost second-guessed myself about should I have done it, because so many people, like, upset with it and the industry and so forth. But about a year and a half ago, I created a MySpace page, and 95% of my friends are males. And a lot of these guys have come up to me and given me honor, and they've thanked me and praised me, the fact that they can't believe that I've gone through so much with this man, and I still stood by him. And they thanked me for standing by this man, because they feel if it wasn't for me, that Pun would not give the world what he gave. You know what I'm saying? I get a lot of guys that tell me that I'm the role model wife. Oh, I wish my wife was like you. I wish, you know, because they see me as a thorough chick, you know what I'm saying, that stood by my man through anything. And I say, so for that, you know what I'm saying, I say, you know what, I don't regret that I did it, because, you know, the industry, you know, I can really care less about the industry, because they don't do anything for me. You know what I'm saying, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? It's the fans, the people that love Pun unconditionally is who I love. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they see where I was coming from it. You know what I'm saying? They definitely giving me a lot of respect behind it. You know, and that's what that counts. And there's people, a lot of people that I've had guys that seen that and said, you know what, I stopped hitting my wife because I've seen you go through that. And I mean, that's a good look. And it's crazy because it's not like I'm bashing men. You know, I never bash men. Most of my friends and associates are males. I don't even have female friends. I never grew up around females. You know, I grew up around males only. So a lot of my associates are males. You know what I'm saying? And I understand where they come from, and I understand, and I speak to them, and they don't come and look at me like I'm male bashing them. They actually listen. They actually understand the woman's side. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and it's something that I appreciate, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I said it, you know, to free myself, like I said originally, and if it helps anybody else along the line, then that's great. And those who have a problem, then maybe they have to look at themselves and see why it's having a problem with them. Maybe they hitting somebody. Maybe they're having a problem with it. So I don't really put too much thought in it, you know what I'm saying, with that, because that's just negative, and I try to keep away from that.
That's what's up. And any callers that want to call in and talk to Liza, call in at 347-826-7722. Javita, do you have any questions for Liza, Javita?
Not really. All I'd like to say is, you know, I really do feel that I really do appreciate you for being on here, and I definitely feel for you and what you had to go through then.
Well,
but you're absolutely, you're welcome. But you're absolutely right about people and their women and their mindset, and just people in general about their mindset about abuse. You know, it's just like with criticism and abuse, because a lot of people have to think about that there is a fine line between overdoing something, especially when it comes to situations where people are dealing with emotional abuse, because that really is hard to get over, is the emotional stain behind it, not just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is physical, because at the end of the day, it is physical, but the physical pain goes away within a week, 2 weeks, the bruise goes away. But I felt betrayed emotionally, because you're supposed to be my one and only. You're supposed to be a part of me, and I felt totally betrayed that he would do this, you know, no trust, you know what I'm saying? So it was hard in that sense. That actually lasts longer. The mental abuse, sometimes I still deal with it. You know, I'm not, you know, I still deal with it. My kids still deal with a lot of the after side effects. You know, they still mentally have problems with it. You know, I still have sometimes, you know, your mind could be your worst enemy, and sometimes I still hear my husband, you know what I'm saying, you know, the down talk, and I have to fight that off, you know what I'm saying? But it's every day, is sometimes a battle every day, you know what I'm saying, to just get my mind right and to get the confidence and to love myself constantly so that way this doesn't ever happen again. I've been fortunate that I have never been in a relationship afterwards, after that. I've never gotten into a situation. Because a lot of women, they be in abusive relationships, and when they luckily they get out, they go back to that because that's all they know. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of work we got to do on the men. It's a lot of work we got to do on the women. Saying, you know, the women got to know that they're beautiful, they're strong, to learn to love each other, to love ourselves. Us as women, we got to sit together and teach each other. I'm saying be the sisters that we can be. You know what I'm saying? Stop backstabbing each other and being conniving and jealous, and really, you know, uplift all our women and be together and strong, because we all we have, and, you know, and it would be a beautiful thing if we could just kept past all of this, and, you know.
I love you, Liza. You get a group hug from us. You get a group hug from all the street queens.
Yeah. Thank you, Mama.
We love you, girl, man. You a strong woman.
Well, thank you. I appreciate everything. I appreciate the opportunity. Emma, you know I love you. What's the chick that did my makeup? Her name? I love the makeup. Yeah, I got a lot of compliments over it, so it was a good look for me.
Not a problem.
Liza, before you leave, we have our professional Lady X line real quick. I don't know, I want to see, maybe she want to ask you a couple of questions or say some words. She's our professional that comes on and, you know, gives us her professional advice on different issues. Lady X?
Right.
Oh, some professional advice.
You have to speak up, Lady X.
For her, for the future, I would suggest that she report the abuse to the police. I think she's done a good job as far as taking care of herself and her children.
I'm sorry, I really can't hear you. What did she say?
I said she has done a good job as far as taking care of herself and her children at this point.
Thank you.
It's sad that you went through that. but you have survived it.
Right.
What's important now is that you do not get back into another relationship. And that
right.
you recognize it as an abusive relationship, that you get out of it immediately.
Right. That's one thing, yeah, that I have learned the signs. One thing I did sit back, I'm into psychology and, you know, all of that type of things, and I'm really good with that. And I've sat and looked at my husband like he was the only case for me to study, you know what I'm saying? And so I really learned a lot from my husband, just seeing the way he is and, you know, and figuring things out on my own. And I definitely see the signs of controlling. I definitely see it from the front door. And I stay away from it, and I also teach my kids, teach my daughters, you know, how to be strong, respectable women. I teach my son. I'm saying, you know, to respect women, and you know, I teach them because I don't want them to go through that. But I do appreciate everything, and I love you guys for giving me the opportunity. And 09 will be our year. We just gotta move forward and do positive things.
That's right.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Love you, girl. We love you,
man.
I love
you too.
Mo, te amo, te amo.
Te queremos.
But I love all your queens.
It's true, and you know you're an official street queen, right?
I definitely. I gotta get my T-shirt.
We're gonna make that happen.
Nah, definitely. Let me know. Get my T-shirt. Come up there and do this all over again.
That's what's up. I'll be calling you so you can come once in a while and come in and, you know, check on us. On just
definitely.
Different topics we touch on that affect us women and affect our children and all that. That's what we're doing this here, just trying to empower each other. So
I give you a lot of respect, Emma, because I've known you for quite some time, and you always been on your grind. And I remember when you started the E2K thing from the beginning with nothing. And I definitely got
to
give
right.
you a lot of credit because you've been doing your
thing. It was a tribute to you and your family, actually, my first issue.
Exactly. So it really happened. And like I told you before, I definitely look up to you, and that's something big coming from me to you because I don't really look up to too many people, but you're definitely someone that I look up to and I honor being my friend.
I feel honored. I definitely feel honored. You know, anything you need from me, I'm just a phone call away.
Definitely. I know, Mama. Yeah. Same here.
Liza,
thank you, Liza.
Liza, we're going to try to connect you with Queenpin because she also has her own little organization along with Persia in regards to battered women and stuff like that. So,
right.
Queen's going to try to make that connection happen for you.
All right,
you
no
know.
Problem.
That's
and Lush also wants to interview you for another show, but I'll give you all the information and we can talk behind the scenes about
okay.
all that.
Definitely. Definitely. Okay.
Thank you so much. We're so honored to have you on the show today.
No, thank you. It's my honor. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Could actually,
God bless you.
You can actually stay on the line and continue to hear us the show, but if you got to go, we understand. But you can stay on. You don't like, have
yeah,
to
I
go.
Mean, I'm actually going to go because I just came
okay.
in from out of town. So
okay,
I was driving to New York. But, yeah, definitely I'm going to check in with you guys. And give me a call, Emma.
I will.
Thank you, Mom. Bye-bye.
All right, peace.
Thank you.
Peace. Thank you. What's up, man? We was live with Liza, Big Pun's wife, man, and she came up here, you know, and told us the truth about, you know, a lot of things, and it's hard sometimes, you know, dealing with somebody that's in the industry, and, you know, you're the wife of that person that everybody idolizes, and it's hard to actually, you know, actually hear that coming from the wife, and, you know, it's like, wow, you know, she went through all that, and took care of her kids, and she, through all that, you know, she still gave him a respect, you know, and, you know, all I can do is say that, you know, we respect her and all that she's doing. We pray for her, you know, three queens, and we're so honored to have her on the show, and make sure you guys archive this, make sure you guys blog on this, make sure you comment on this show, make sure you send it to your friends, and we're going to move the next subject, and that's for you, Queen Jarvita, and it's talking about getting a restraining order, building a record against your abuser, going to the doctor and getting help, calling the police and reporting it, changing your identity and self-defense. Speak on it, Queen.
Well, first of all, I'd like to go into saying what the laws are pertaining to abuse. There are three laws. The first is interstate travel to commit domestic violence. Now, in regards to that, it is a federal crime for a person to travel interstate with the intent to injure, harm, harass, or intimidate a person or a partner who they're with. And also, it's a federal crime to intimidate a partner across state lines. This was basically put in effect September 23rd, 1996. Also, in 1996, they created interstate stalking law. And the last one was interstate traveling laws. And basically, the traveling laws state that you can't cross the state line with and make somebody go with you. That is against the law. But previous to that, a spouse or a partner could get away with that, and there was no laws in place before 1996. But now we have those three laws. Also, there's the firearms offenses. Now, I'd like to read some about the firearm offenses. Firearm offenses is a federal crime to possess a firearm while subject to a valid protection order. The protection order must state either the defendant possessing a threat to the physical safety of the victim or that the defendant is not allowed to use any force that would cause injury to the victim. Now, keep in mind that these law enforcement officers are not subject to this law, and we'll talk about that more when we get to the topic about police, because they're not subject to that same law about firearms, and that is extremely dangerous. Previous to 1996, there weren't many laws in place in jurisdiction to prevent domestic violence crimes. Those crimes, however, pose a serious threat to our community. Actually, while the domestic violence remains primarily a matter of state and local jurisdiction, both Victims Against Women Association and the Gun Control Act provide federal tools to prosecute domestic violence offenders in certain situations involving firearms or interstate travel or activity. Now, when we talk about the precautions that a person can take, naturally the first order is always to document the crimes that are happening against you. A woman should always, or a man, or anybody should always build a record. Building a record is so important in terms of being able to get a restraining order. That a restraining order, you do have to go to the police department to get it, but it's easy. Go to a doctor and get help. You need to call the police and report it. Now, also, in extreme cases, a person does change identities, or the person, when they're not getting help from the law and the law isn't working for them, a lot of women and men do go into hiding. Abuse victims do go into hiding in some shelters in some instances. And that's only in extreme cases. Naturally, the law does not recommend it, but some people feel like they have to, or it's the person who's going to get them. But changing identity is not just something about the external, but it's a situation that deals primarily with your internal as well. You have to change your identity on the inside. It's like Liza was saying, and Lady X, and we've all been saying all night, you know, you have to love yourself first before you can love somebody else. And until you take that time to internally take a look at you and evaluate you and heal yourself first, then you can't possibly begin to move on from the emotional abuse and the emotional scars behind it, because those are the scars that last, and it's the prison that you do have to free yourself from. And another way that women can protect themselves is to always use self-defense. I know Lisette has taken some self-defense classes and knows a lot about self-defense. So at this time, I would like to let her talk some about self-defense.
All right, Lisette in the house. In regards to self-defense, I took some classes for about 4.5 years. And one thing I can tell the women who are being abused is the crotch. Always go for the crotch. That is the weakest
part. Use your knees, your elbows. If you need to basically escape some kind of maneuvers or if you're pinned down, always look for openings. For instance, your thumbs are considered openings. So if somebody has you, you know, God forbid, by the throat, the first thing that you would go for is the thumbs because that's the easiest part that you can basically, you know, get your fingers around and loosen that grip. The throat is a very sensitive area also. Now, I'm not telling you women to go out there and be, you know, Jennifer Lopez from Enough. You know, men are naturally stronger than women. The whole point is being able to escape, you know, and run for help. You know, ultimately run for help. But if you're being pinned down, always remember your elbows and your knees are the strongest points of your body. Look for openings. If somebody has you by the collar, you know, the wrist area, you know, would be, considered the opening where I can use kind of like a spin with my shoulders to unlock that grip, basically hitting the wrist area. So that grip will be loosened, you know, run for help. If you have your cell phone, make sure you have your cell phone at all times. If you are in an abusive relationship, definitely seek help, you know, confide in your family. Self-defense is not just physical, you know. Set up a plan. Make sure that if you're going to leave, don't mention that you're going to leave. Don't say, I'm going to leave. Don't say, okay, I'm going to pack my stuff right now and go. No. You do it in the night, you know, when nobody's watching, he has no idea, when he's away at work, whatever the case is. Self-defense is not just physical, you know. Strategize. Make sure that you have a game plan. Make sure that you have your just-in-case money. What's your just-in-case money? Save up, you know, save up whatever you can, even if it's $10 a month, if you could. You know, have that escape money ready, you know. So self-defense is in every aspect, mentally, spiritually. You know, pray to God and get your muscles right.
That's what's up. That's what's up. That's some real talk right there, man. Make sure and to add on to what Lissette said in regards to, and I'm gonna throw this book out again from Donna M. Savage, who was at the actual conference with For Battered Women, the press conference with Queenpin in New York. The book is entitled "The Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence." And Survivors, A Survivor's Revelation by Donna M. Savage. And I will be posting up the information for the book on our site. Donna has a lot of key points in this book. I mean, Donna has your escape route. Donna has signs and warnings. She has different things to notice if your teen is going through. And to add on in regards to what Lissette was talking about, she said, sure you have a safety plan. You said the key thing is to educate yourself and learn about different organizations and services that can help you. Also, try to travel outside to another town that's a safe house, a motel that he does not know or she does not know where you're at. Pack a bag, emergency supplies, and change your clothes. Even if you got to dye your hair, change your hair, all kinds of stuff. You want to cut your hair so you become a different person. Make sure you have your passport, all your important records, your ATM cards, your kids' toys, blankets, your kids' information. Because the first thing the abuser is going to try to take is take your important records so you're not able to do anything. So make sure that's in your bag first. Also, she says, think about how you would get out the house safely. I mean, I don't know if a lot of y'all saw Enough, but you see how Jennifer Lopez, you know, found her different ways and his different movements in the house. Find out your escape elevator, stairwell, just in case. Find the safest route that you can find to get out of the house. Make sure you tell a neighbor, friend, church member, somebody you trust, not somebody that's going to talk to him. Somebody that you trust that will keep it between you and that person. And make sure you guys make signals to each other, like blinking lights if they're coming to pick you up or something so they know that it's time for them. Also, consider writing a letter explaining, you know, about your abuse or something and give it to somebody or mail it to somebody as evidence for somebody to have. Make sure you teach your children how to dial 911 at all times. Develop a code word for your children and your friends to run for help, okay? Because you don't want him to know what's going on. Make sure you guys make an emergency key for anything you have. Make sure that you have all telephone numbers for all your people hidden somewhere, because who knows if he breaks your cell phone or anything. You want to be able to call those important numbers. Make sure you have an extra copy of your house key. You have two emergency bags just in case he snatches that one, so you are good to go. Make a copy of everything of your important documents. Grab all your sentimental, you know, photography, videos, take all of that. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And make sure you get familiar, you know, with all your everything that you need to know in regards to, you know, getting a restraining order, like they said. Because I'm gonna tell you, you have to have a paper trail. In the law, in the court of law, they will not pay you any attention if you do not have a paper trail. Make sure you report to your friends. Make sure you have a tape recorder. If you got a digital tape recorder, record him when he's talking to you crazy. Record when he's sitting there trying to abuse you. Record it. Do what you got to do so you can press charges, because you have to show him some evidence, because if you don't, they're not going to believe you, and God forbid you might end up for like that lady that got burnt and in broad daylight, and I hope that doesn't happen to anybody. Make sure, like she said, save your money, because you never know you're going to have to eat and stuff like that. Make sure you join a support group, you know, for battered women and things like this, you know. And you know, Donna has a lot of things. And also another thing, make sure if you know he's in one of those moods, remove all sharp objects in the house, guns, anything. Move them. Move the guns. If you have them in their room, move them. Put them in another place that he can't find it. Because just like Lady X said, a lot of violent and shooting start inside of the bedroom. A lot of stabbings in the kitchen. Get rid of the sharp knives. Get rid of them. Put them in another place where he can't find them. Rearrange the house so he can't find things. Push the gun somewhere else so you won't be set up for, you know what I'm saying, your demise. You know, plan ahead. Plan ahead. You know, make sure, like she said, take self-defense classes seriously, you know. And when you're leaving, man, make sure that you warn the school. Warn the school. If you're going to leave, tell them the situation and you know what I'm saying, just so they can have their heads up in regards, just in case he decides he wants to pick up your children to hold you back from leaving. Please, ladies, they're listening, and if you know somebody, please let them know, and we'll be posting up this information. Please, you know what I'm saying? While you're in the car, make sure that you have everything that you need. Plan ahead, because you never know what might happen in any situation. And another thing that Donna has for you guys is basically have your own personal self plan. Okay, she has a checklist for you.
A checklist?
She has a checklist. It's a checklist of things that you should take with you. Identification for yourself, for your children, birth certificate, security card, and also get your abuser's social security card, your husband, because you're going to need that too. School health records, money, checkbook, ATM, credit cards, copies of unpaid bills, because you might need that, you know, when you have to transfer to somebody else. Copies of all extra keys from lockboxes to everything. Make sure you get the registration and title to the car, medication, the passport, medical records, deed to the house, mortgage papers, loans, bank books, insurance, address book, pictures, photos, family, favorite toys, tax returns, pay stubs, journals, diaries, legal documentation, copies of potential 401k plan. Get everything that you need. And like they said, a personal safety plan. If you decide to leave, I will get out of the house by... You have to write this list down. This is the time that I plan to get out the house. If I will keep my purse and car keys in a certain place so you know where you can grab them. You know what I'm saying? So you can get them quickly. I will tell this, and the third, you know, what's going on so I can contact them if I'm about to leave. I would use this kind of cold to let my children know that they're going to dial 911. If I have to leave the home, I will go to Blase Blase. If I don't go there, where will I go? What's the next place I will go? When you're in the arguing begins, where are you going to go to? Are you going to go to the room? You're going to find a safe exit. If I leave money or extra set of car keys and the change of clothes, where am I going to put it at so I'm able to grab it fast enough? If I open a savings account, begin one, I'm going to make sure that I have a copy of everything extra. Churches, all that stuff that you do, make sure that you guys, you know, just take heed to what we're saying. Because this stuff is serious, man. Because all we're trying to do is protect you from a situation that can be fatal. Seriously.
That's right. Never, ever underestimate an abuser. He starts hitting and it can lead to death. So don't ever underestimate what he can do to you.
Exactly.
That's right.
Abuse never gets better. It always gets worse.
And remember, if you have a partner that searches your purse and searches through everything in the house, then writing it down might not be a good idea. You need to memorize it. Everything she just told you to do, you need to memorize it. Take it to memory. Because if you write it down, then he has it. All of a sudden, he got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Wow, that seems excessive, but it's not excessive when it's in terms of saving your life.
And all of this is true, man. Donna, I got to send a shout out to Donna. This book is so informative to all women that have been battered and abused. And when you
What's
hear
the title again, Lush? The title?
The title of the story is called The Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence, A Survivor's Revelation by Donna M. Savage. This is a battered woman's survival book right here. This right here is the truth for any battered woman, okay? Or you're going through it, teens or anything. It tells you everything in detail, which brings us to the next subject. Why don't most women report their abuse? And that's a question to everybody, from a shame, guilt, lack of police responses. And we're going to ask Miss CG. And then go to Miss Felicia Sabri. They think they quiet over there, but I know I hear y'all.
This is CG. Well, I honestly can't say why women don't report abuse. I mean, I can say from my opinion. Fear should be up there as well. I mean, I guess embarrassment, you don't want people to question. The same way Liza said, people asked her, why did she stay? You know, guilt, I really don't know why they would feel guilty, but, I mean, I would need someone to explain that to me because, like I said, I've never been in that situation. So I feel for them, you know, definitely, but I don't know why they would feel guilty because it's not their fault, you know, but I guess it's a feeling that comes with it. But definitely, I from my opinion, I would say fear and shame and embarrassment, you know, because they automatically feel that somebody's going to judge them for being in that situation and what people consider, you know, not standing up for themselves. You always hear a woman who was never in that position saying, if it was me, I would do this or I would do that or that wouldn't happen to me. And then when they're put in the situation, you know, it's a completely different story sometimes. So lack of response from the police, I can definitely see why that would be a issue. If you reached out to the police before, you know, at the conference that we had in Brooklyn, Queen Penn, she spoke on that, how the police really wasn't in her corner, you know, when she reached out to them. And sometimes you just feel like, you know, there is no one there to help you. So why even go to the police if they're going to come? What did she say, 30 minutes late?
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, 32 minutes.
Yeah, if they're going to question you, you know, when you get there, and they're going to treat you like, you know, the abuser, like you're on trial. You know, when you're swollen and bloody and you've got to, you know, fill out paperwork and this and that, you just want this to be over with. So, I mean, that's just my opinion. But like I said, I would definitely need somebody who's been through it, who's experienced it, to you know, go further into that.
I think part of it is threats, that the abuser makes threats to the victim, what he's going to do if she should call the police.
I'm sorry, I can't hear a word you're saying.
I said threats from the offender as to what he's going to do if she should report it. And then there are threats from his friends, what they're going to do if she tells. there are threats from his family, what they're going to do if she tells, if she have him locked up.
Oh.
So she is in a constant state of fear. So fear is a main factor in terms of her reporting. And then there's that sympathy. And even though he has hurt her, she still loves him. She still cares about what happens to him. And she's concerned what's going to happen if she tells, what's going to happen to the family if he goes to jail, how are we going to eat and this kind of stuff, who's going to pay the rent. And even if she works, does she make enough money to pay all the bills by herself? That there are a number of factors that could cause her not to report. There are a bunch of us that don't want to be on welfare.
Yeah.
We want nothing to do with the welfare and getting in a handout from them. So if she turns him in and they lock him up, then she's going to have to accept help from somebody.
So that sounds like pride.
Do it all by herself.
Yeah, that's that pride. The pride is the thing that kills us the most. It's pride,
yeah,
man.
There's the pride about that. And then there's the pride about telling her friends, her coworkers, her family. Yeah. That he's been abusing her. Once she reports it, it's out there for everybody. It's no longer a family secret.
Especially the ones that, you know, try to act so high to Diddy and you know, they have the perfect marriage and stuff, and everybody looks at them like they got the perfect marriage, and she has to put on this front. And, you know, for her to come out and say that, that's just, like, really embarrassing because she has this image to uphold,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
For the people. And Felicia, I know you over there. I know you over there, girl. Go ahead and tell us what you think about it, Felicia.
I just feel like, you know, some women are just in denial and they just flat out accept it. And this is, you know, this is what my relationship is. And this is, you know, they just accept it. And it's like, you shouldn't accept it, but they do. Because they're so in love, and, you know, it could come, you know, it stems from the childhood. Maybe her mother was abused and she watched that, or maybe she was abused and she just thinks this is the way it's supposed to be, you know, but they just, you know, need to realize that it's not healthy and they should tell someone, but, you know, they're in fear and they don't want to tell anybody, but they need to tell people, you know, so that other people can back them up with the abuse and everything. Like I said, I've never really been in a serious situation, but I know that, you know, I was in a, you know, a semi-abusive relationship, nothing to where I was going to go to the hospital, but, I mean, we were swinging at each other. He was mentally abusing me, and, I mean, I stayed for a long time, but then, you know, I was just fed up, and I said, you know what, I'm leaving, and I took my stuff, and I left, and, you know, these females just need to make the decision, and they just need to, you know, they need to set a plan, and they need to leave and get out, you know, or they're just going to, they're gonna stay in the relationship, and a lot of women stay in those type of relationships until they die. Like, there's a lot of women that are in abusive relationships and they just accept it, and I don't know why they accept it. I really don't.
But the reason I could speak from experience, the reason why majority of the time we stay, for a lot of things that everybody mentioned here on the panel, because one thing is to tell somebody to get out of an abusive relationship, another one is to really be in it, caught up in it, and be living it on the day to day. You know, for me, if it wasn't that he got killed, I don't know if I would have still, years down the line, still would have been the situation, because he instilled fear in everybody around me. And I was so scared that he would do anything to my family that he isolated me. I didn't deal with my family. I didn't deal with friends. You know, he made sure that the only people I spoke to was people that, of course, were going to report back to him. Or tell him anything, you know, if I had any plans, if I was going anywhere, he would have known about it. So, you know, where was I running to? Who was I? Even if I told somebody, listen, oh, mind you, he would slap me or whatever in front of them, they would just look like, you know, like just look at me like, so he can be stomping me out on the floor and, you know, his friends would just look at me like, just be quiet, don't, like, you know, like telling me like, don't, you know, don't raise your hand, don't make it worse, don't, you know what I mean? And I could be bleeding, you know, bleeding and all that. I'm just looking at them like, you know, you got to be kidding me. Like, you know, can you help me? And they just like, just sit down. Just, I'll take you to the hospital later. Just chill. Like, don't get them more mad. So when you're around all that, it's like, don't get him mad. He is beating me unconsciously here. And you know, everybody's just looking like, just don't, you know, don't scream, don't yell, don't, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just really feel like men just weren't, I mean, I feel like if you're brought up, I mean, we didn't even talk about Obama or anything, the inauguration, but I feel like, say if we grew up like that, we, you know, these men have their fathers in their lives and they have positive examples. Maybe they wouldn't grow up to be monsters, but maybe it's a fact that a lot of, you know, in the urban community, a lot of our men have not grown up to be with their fathers. Therefore, they don't know
absolutely
that it's totally wrong to put your hands on a woman. First of all, you're stronger than us. You know what I mean? Second of all, it's disrespectful. Like, you're never supposed to put your hand on a woman. Like, no, that's just not supposed to happen. And it's, like, all over the place. Like dudes slapping girls, and they think it's cool punching you in, you know, abusive relationships. It's like,
but
you
got
to
be taught that.
There's no home training. They don't know
exactly,
no better.
Exactly.
It's like, it's wrong. Like, you'll probably never, ever hear a story about Obama doing anything to Michelle. Like, that's the perfect
example.
Now, Michelle,
right? Michelle is a lot bigger than
so
Obama.
Glad that
he
we have
still.
That example. I'm so glad that we have that example, because these men need to know that's not the way to treat your lady, buddy. For
mm-hmm.
real.
Miss Obama put the hurting on that bad boy. You see how big she is?
Yeah.
I know she ain't playing that at all. She's like,
I think, you know, I don't even have children yet. And the ones that do, we really need to teach our children, you know, especially our young men. Like, we need to teach them from a young age how to treat a lady, because if they don't know that when they're younger, when they get older, they're going to think that they can react off of their emotions and go slap you up like they would slap the next dude. You know what I mean? And they can't
mm-hmm.
do that.
Or how they see their mom take it. So they figure, well,
yeah.
she'll
yeah.
take it. My mom took it. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah, like, it's okay. I thought it was okay when I was in a relationship to get smacked, and I was like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be hitting me. Like, are you serious? And I'm like, I love you. And then, you know, you learn, but it's wrong. It's not right. And I will never take that from another man ever again, you know?
That's true. We're going into, you know, the next subject. Now, this is the real crazy part. You know, a lot of women get, you know, start dating police officers. They get married to police officers. And, you know, they have that whole slogan, we protect our own. So if they're supposed to serve the community, who's protecting me when I'm getting abused? By a police officer that's supposed to protect and serve the people. So statistics of cops who abuse and crooked cops, I'm going to give that to Javita and Lady X, because I know a Lady X has her own personal experience. And Javita, I know she has statistics, so go ahead and speak, Queens.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello. This is Lady X. My spouse worked in law enforcement, and in terms of the beatings, there wasn't a whole lot of those, but I know one night we had a fight, and I didn't call the police this time. I went and got in my car and went down there. And the police, when I came in, he said, I recognize you. I know who you are. And you're the wife of that officer, that big football player. He said, we're not going out there to your house because you're not abused. If you'd have been abused, we could have saw that from the time you walked in here, walked in the door. We could have seen you was abused. You just got a little busted lip. That's all. He just hit you and you got mad. Going on back home. Yes, we will execute some paperwork when you go get you an attorney and execute some papers, some restraining order, something. We will go out and enforce it, but until we get some paperwork to go out there and deal with him again, we're not going to deal with your spouse no more. And there are a lot of women that are spouses of husbands that work in law enforcement. They don't do nothing for us. They don't do nothing for you in terms of protection. Uh-huh. It's got to be real severe, and it's got to be something that they can't turn their head on. But they're going to try to excuse it. If there's any way to excuse it, it's going to be excused, or it's going to be pushed back, and you're going to get the runaround.
But what if you wanted to press charges? They couldn't allow you to
press
do that.
Through them.
Yeah.
If you're trying to press charges against an officer, you got to go through another officer to press it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a lot of times the paperwork gets thrown out and
lost. Your paperwork get lost. They don't know what happened to it. It's thrown in the trash can the moment you walk out of there.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Crazy stuff,
right?
And
well,
it's got to be severe enough for her to end up in the hospital.
Wow.
And it's going to have to be some medical folks backing you then, because there's nothing they can do with those medical records. They can't get those and throw them out. All they're going to get is a copy. That will
and
always
those,
be that medical record at the hospital.
That's and they know how to hurt you without it showing no evidence.
Yeah, that's fine for me. I can beat you and I won't leave a spot on a mark on.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, you know, that leads me to make the statement, the signs of an abuser, which I will go back to reference of M. Savage, Blood and Tears of Domestic Violence and Survivor's Revelation. Donna states that identifying the signs of a domestic violence abuser is basically saying that they have visible defensive injuries such as scratches or cuts, or bully mentality towards others at work or in public, blaming others for their problems, especially the victim, denying that he has a problem. Abuser is knowledgeable about the legal and social service system and uses it to his advantage so that he is the victim. He is absent or late related to his actions towards his victim or for court appearances or jail time. Calling the victim constantly during work. And let the victim speak to herself in front of others. Speak to for herself in front of others. Expose him. May or may not display violence at work. Other signs that with a domestic abuser. Okay, you gotta ask these questions if you think that he's an abuser. Does your mate have a short temper? Does your mate act very jealous? Does your mate like to fight a lot? Does your mate tell or suggest what you should wear? Does your mate try to limit who you talk to? Does your mate make you tell him or her where you are going and who you are with? Does your mate tell you when you have to be home? Does your mate put you down? Does your mate take up most of your time? Does your mate hurt you physically or throw things at you? Does your mate get angry when you disagree with him? Does your mate pressure you to engage in sexual activity that you feel uncomfortable with? Does your mate make you feel like you can't say no to sexual activity? Does your mate embrace you in front of others? And does your mate embrace you in front of others? If you are with a partner that is displaying any of these signs, don't ignore it. Abuse usually comes in stages and very often only gets worse. Many things making it too late to seek help. There are plenty of resources available. Don't become a statistic. Love or pray. And that's a statement made from Donna M. Savage. Please pick up this book, The Blood and Tears of a Domestic Violence, a Survivor's Revelation. It's a good book, man. And like Lady X and everybody stated, it comes in stages. It starts with verbal abuse, then it turns out to be physical abuse, and God forbid, hope is not the end of your life. This is serious, you know? Very, very serious.
I can't help but think about how those questions also pertain to those abusive fathers who abuse their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the same. It's like the same cycle.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. When does
there
the cycle?
I wanted to make. And that
break,
is
Lady X.
There
break,
is,
break the cycle.
There is statistics that says that when women live in relationships or stay in relationships with men that abuse them, the effect trickles down to the daughter. She almost always finds a partner that is abusive to her. And for the son, he usually will abuse his spouse. That it does affect the children because it becomes an ingrained behavior. In other words, when he starts beating the daughter, then you wonder why. Mama, you stayed. Daddy beat you and you stayed. So she thinks she is supposed to stay and take it. The son thinks that's what he's supposed to do to his wife, that he is supposed to beat her anytime her behavior is not to his liking. And from that, it would be like my spouse that said to me, you think you're too good to be hit. I told him, yes, I was. I am too good to be hit, and I don't approve of being hit, and I'm not going to take hitting lightly. I'm not going to be beat on and take that. There is going to be some repercussion to you every time you hit me.
Yes,
and
sir.
I was.
Mm-hmm.
There was repercussion every time he decided he was going to hit me. And he said, you will make a man kill you. Because instead of taking it, you always want to fight back. You make me hear you. I said, well, the best thing for you to do is to leave. Because I'm not going to take it.
Well,
but if you take it willingly, if the woman takes it willingly, the unspoken message to the daughter is that when she's in an abusive relationship, she too is going to take it. And for her, it's going to start as soon as she starts dating guys. Her boyfriend will start beating on her or controlling her or mistreating her. And as mothers, we can't do anything about that. We can talk to her, but if we're still in that abusive relationship, she's going to stay in it too. She's going to follow our lead. So our lead must always be to get out.
Mm-hmm. I've been waiting, but I want to definitely say some things about that as well. You know, we were talking about why do most women stay, and CG wanted to know about the guilt portion. Well, I can definitely tell you about that. You know, you always feel like, oh, it's my fault. And from that, you know, everybody's left them, and if I leave too, then it makes me like everybody else. And so sometimes they want to stay to prove that they're not like everybody else. And a classic case of that was Tina Turner. You know, she stayed the entire time, and then it took her finally, with the boys practically grown, for her to decide that she would leave. And a lot of women stay until the children are grown, and that is a bad mistake because the kid takes a large majority of the abuse. And some of them also stay because I was saying earlier that people are talking about them, and two, when people in the neighborhood, some of them know that they've been abused, when that relationship is gone, other abusers tend to want to come around too because, hey, she took it from him, she might take it from me too. And usually they are cowards who will not fight another man or another same-sex individual, but they're in a hurry to beat their spouse and their partner. And they always like to pick somebody that they feel like is weak and can be submissive. And, you know, that even goes back to the Bible where some of them stay because they feel like they should obey their husbands and be submissive to their husband. And the Bible, it doesn't mean that you should stay and be abused and be beaten chronically by it. And that was, of course, why the law for the longest time didn't choose to step in to protect the rights of women because, hey, it's in the Bible and, you know, it should be condoned anyway. And a person, you know, what happens in your home should stay in your house. And you definitely should not go out into the public and tell people what's going on with you. You're supposed to suck it up and move on. And that's very bad. And that's why a lot of women, of course, especially back in the days before women had rights, were abused. And that's why women fought so hard to have rights, like the right to vote and the right to participate and the right to work, because they were being abused and being mistreated because they were women, that you're not as important. And they're told that chronically that you're not important, your feelings don't matter, you don't count. you know, how you feeling is irrelevant. And a lot of women stay because of that. But you have to empower yourself and be able to learn to love yourself in spite of all of that. And I know it's very difficult. And a lot of women tend to see suicide as their only alternative. Some women do see that as their only alternative, and those are there in sad cases. And, of course, you know, there are hotlines, like Emma said, you know, for women to call, like the National Domestic Hotline. But that is extreme. And as far as police brutality, police women, women who are dating cops or married to police officers are the ones who are the most abused. And there have been shows and documented studies on it because they won't press the charges because of the whole We Protect Our Own Act. And the other set of women who get abused more are Muslim women, especially in other countries, you know, that when they get tired of their wives, they burn them and they kill them. So it's very harsh treatment for them in comparison to what we go through here. But it doesn't make it any less painful or any less traumatic. Abuse is abuse regardless of race, color, religion. It exceeds all of that, sex, gender, everything.
That's
well said.
Mm-hmm. And that's just basically what I wanted to add, because Lady X had touched on it, and you all had touched on several portions, and I know that we're trying to wrap this up. So I'm going to leave it at that, and let's keep moving.
I want to leave you with a website, www.injuryhelplinelawyer.com. That's at no cost and no obligation, that if you're being abused and you'd like to talk to an injury lawyer about your situation, go on the net and find www.injuryhelplinelawyer.com, and they will refer you to an attorney free of charge. Yes, free of
That's
charge.
That's what's up. We truly appreciate you, Lady X, all the time when you come and give us your wonderful advice. You're such a beautiful woman, you know, and we love you every time you do your thing, man. For
group
real.
Hug, group hug, group hug.
Group hug, hug, Lady
X. Group hug, I like that.
That's what it is. Jarvita, could you give us some of the resources that you got, and we'll go down the line, ladies, whatever resources that you have for the you know, for the young ladies.
Okay. I have the National Center for Victims of Crime Stalkers Resource Center. The number is 1-800-394-2255. Again, that's 1-800-394-2255. The National Domestic Violence Hotline number, of course, is 1-800-799-SAFE, or you can call 1-800-787-3224. The next one I had was National Sexual Violence Resource Center. That's 1-800-739-3895. Again, that's 1-800-739-3895. Now, there's also the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. That's 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-4673. The Office of Violence Against Women, a complaint for the United States Department of Justice. You may call telephone and talk to Ms. Cindy Dyker, the director. The telephone number is 202-307-6026, or you may fax her at 202-305-2589. The email address is www.usdoj.gov/OVM. Now, the Search for Legal Assistance for Victims grants. If you need help getting a grant to fund yourself in terms of your case with abuse, the number for that is 202-305-2590. Again, that's 202-305-2590. Or you may email Nadine.neuf VILLE, at usdoj.gov. Or the second one is www.0jp.usdoj.gov/funds.opps.htp. And, of course, we gave the Gay Men's Domestic Violence Project hotline number is 1-800-832-1901. And then there's the Battered Intervention Program, which is 508-778-1357 or 508-324-3597. And like she was saying about the National Obligation Hotline, about Injury Helpline Lawyer.com, their telephone number that you can call is 1-800-819-8842.
That's what's up. And any more, the rest of the information we'll definitely post up later. Due to time, we can't, you know, everything. We have a long list of stuff. But we'll post it on our Ning site, www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com, and also we'll post it up on E2K Magazine online, so you can get the information there too. So or email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. Our lovely queen, CG, has the honor to wrap up the whole show for us. So, CG, spotlight on you.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up real quick. Tonight's show was Battered and Abused Women Part 2, and we started the night out with a quote from Jarvita, our beautiful street queen. It was, "True love is what it does that is good. If love does not do what is good, then it was never really love to begin with," and that was by Jarvita. We talked about how abusers have a sense of control of victims and Lissette went on that. And how victims are, a sense of control, how victims are not always passive, how they carry self-blame and fear. We talked about the existence of female abusers. Lissette and Lady X touched on that, and Jarvita explained to us how the double jeopardy with female abusers is, how females are now using Viagra and date rape drugs. We talked about the signs to look for a victim and how in your children you should look for early puberty and the other signs that a child is being abused. We talked about criticism and abuse. We talked about how the abusers need to feel like the victim needs them, and that's independent versus dependent. Emma spoke from experience, and she also gave us some facts. She told us about there's 1,500 battered women shelters, and as opposed to 3,800 animal shelters. We touched on that. Jarvita touched on the laws, how to get restraining orders, and Lissette gave us some self-defense tips. We spoke with Liza, who broke down her experience in an abusive relationship. She went into depth about how the abuse affected her and her late husband who abused her and how he cooked that and how she was able to end the cycle before it passed down to her children. We touched on why women don't report abuse. We talked about the guilt, the shame, the fear, and the lack of police protection. We also talked about the signs of an abuser, such as short tempers, jealousy, limitations on communication, creating curfews, et cetera. And Lush gave us a list in reference to that. We also heard Lady X speak about her experience and how police brutality against the women and how police are definitely violent in some of the relationships, not all but some, and how in order to press charges on a police officer if you're in a relationship, is you have to go through another police officer, and with crooked police, it's not always effective. And we also got some help hotlines and phone numbers, including the National Domestic Hotline and the National Sexual Violence Resource Center and many more. And all the information will be posted on the website and on the blog site, correct, Les?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. That's it.
And see you
tomorrow. Motto and Creed.
Read the motto and creed for us.
Wait, I don't have that up. My other phone just died.
That's okay.
My other phone died, so I don't have any of that information in front of me.
I got you. I got your back, girl. I still got to read last bit of stuff. But the rap that we are so honored that you did that, because you did a good job. You go, girl.
And I didn't have my information in front
group
of me.
Hug, group hug.
All my stuff.
Group hug.
Hey, it's okay. We got each other back, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Cool V, Operation We Care, OPOR, OperationWeCare.com, partnership with Street Queens, the movement. Check them out, you know, help them out in regards to they're helping the homeless and helping the society. I want to thank all our guests, Liza, Lady X, all my beautiful Street Queens, all our listeners, all the callers, everybody. We love you, man. People that we didn't get to, man, we're sorry. We're doing the weight loss challenge. Go to Street Queens, the movement, the Ning site. Go on there, post up your pictures, tell us what you're doing, what's your remedy, natural or unnatural stuff. If you wanted to send any donations and everything, send it to P.O. Box 301-126, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731. And our motto and creed, our motto is to empower and support the diverse needs of people. Our creed is Street Queens are here to show our future leaders the way, walking and talking life struggles every day. Like the sands of time, we are an inescapable entity, bringing light into dark places and filling despair with hope. Oh, my God, it makes me feel so warm every time I say that. Yes. Oh, my God. You know. And make sure that you don't forget, man, we're at the same time, same place, 8 o'clock p.m., man. And make sure that you check us out. Tell your friends about it. We encourage you to come again, man. Street Queens, the movement. You just officially got stamped. I love all my Street Queens. Doing our thing, man. I love you, Lady X. I love you, Javita. I love you, Emma. I love you, CG.
I love you,
Felicia Sabri.
Group hug all around. Group hug all around.
What it is, man.
Life
stop
squeezing me so hard. Let's get off. Life stop squeezing me so hard.
And, you know, we doing our thing, man, and we support y'all. And I'm going to leave you guys off with Jasmine Sullivan, Call Me Guilty, man. Listen to
ooh,
this
guys,
song.
Listen to this song. I love it. I put Lush on.
CG and Javita, holla at this, man. Love y'all, man. We out. You just officially got stamped. Street Queens, the movement.
Peace.
Listen to the song.
Oh,
what's the matter there?
Get that Glock and take his life. Hospitals and bloody nose.
Hello?
Hello? I'm here.
Damn, maybe I did this shit wrong.
Yeah, was it at?
Hello? Hello? Hello?